The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, I'm guessing that yesterday, after a conversation about the bear attack on your trash can,
yes,
that you probably got some advice on dealing with bears on social media, because that's what social media is for. Giving advice.
Unsolicited advice. I think our friend Reggie in Kansas City, he advised that I get a bear-proof trash can. One of our listeners who lives in Israel, they have a wild boar problem. He snapped a picture and sent that over. You recommended dealing with them with a snow shovel, so that was kind of you to send the advice back.
I gotta make you stop right there. Dealing with a wild boar with a snow shovel.
That's not gonna work.
That would be amusing, but go ahead.
No, so, you know, everyone was kind. Some people were like, what were you doing? Other people respected the move. You know, as I said yesterday, I just needed a little bit of space, a little window so I could backpedal, get into the garage. My wife didn't leave the garage, so she was ready with her finger on the button to close it and to hide inside. So not a huge deal. We survived, and I'll be on the lookout for bears. I'll take this advice to heart, everyone.
Very nice. And you're going to use all the advice for the next bear encounter that you wind up having. Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. And you know who's making moves? How about Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs?
2-0 to Wisdom. And that's crushed. Unreal. Forget it. And gone. He's done it again. His eighth. Patrick Wisdom. Pulls one to left, and the Cubs enjoying a 5-0 lead.
Patrick Wisdom. Boy, is he red hot. And we actually have on Sunday Night Baseball this weekend, the St. Louis Cardinals, Chicago Cubs. And I interviewed Patrick Wisdom last night in a rapid-fire conversation. That was a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that next Monday. Shohei Ohtani continues to build a case for MVP while pushing the Angels closer to 500.
You know, they always got, you know, people gave him grief about that, but you know, they were up there trying to do as much damage as they could.
Like there's
that.
Damage right there. Shohei, way, sayo, wow. Nada, where did that land? Just like that.
Couple rows on the top.
2-0 Angels.
You know where it landed? In that sound from the Angels television network. 470 feet from home plate. The Angels beat the Royals again, and the Angels now 29-32. They've won 10 of their last 15 games. The Indians and the Cardinals. And I don't know what this highlight sounds like, but I suspect there'll be a booming voice involved.
The pitch swung in and hammered high and deep to right. Away out of here. Gone. A majestic moonshot for Jose Ramirez. A 3-run bomb to right. And the Indians leading it 5-0.
Yep. Tom Hamilton, WTAM 1100 with that call. The Indians beat St. Louis 10-1. The Rays just keep on winning. They took the lead in the bottom of the fifth inning last night.
He throws to Brasso. Line drive down the right field line. Long run for Soto coming in. And it drops along the foul line and then gets by him and rolls out to the bullpen. Rounding third is Meadows and he will score. A Rosarena to third. And up to second is Brasso. And the Rays take a 2-1 lead.
That from 620 WDAE, the Rays go on to win 3-1. Chris Sale told reporters before the Red Sox lost to Houston last night that he's confident that he will pitch this year. He said 100%. He said, unless something crazy happens, I'll be there soon enough. There's some thought maybe late July, early August, that type of thing. He still has essentially a full spring training in front of him. Dodgers and Pirates, what a weird moment, the bottom of the first inning.
3-1 pitch to Hayes, 97, and sent down the right side, and that ball is off the wall. And it might have gone off the foul pole.
Yeah, it landed, I think, in the seats, and a home run opposite way.
So, Ke'Bryan Hayes with a home run, his third of the year, and the Pirates take a 1-0 lead.
Well, that'll make Pop happy.
Oh, wait a minute. Get another look at it on video.
Well, we've gotten two different calls. We got one call by an umpire that was out and another one that gave safe.
They are saying that he didn't touch first base and he is out.
And he did not touch first base. Boy, the advantage of the Dodgers being in the first base dugout and alertly watching the runner. Wow. And Hayes missed first base.
Yeah, Cabrian Hayes right there missed first base. The Dodgers beat the Pirates 5-3. Sid Mullins, another big day in the Orioles 10-3 win yesterday over the New York Mets. Give a listen.
Lakeup takes his lead at second. That's hit well. Gap right center field. They're not going to get this one. On the warning track, Valleca around third. He scores. Mullins in at second with an RBI double as the Orioles take a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, I remember the other day he got thrown out at third, leading off an inning. Otherwise, I think he might have been at third tonight.
Yeah, that from the Orioles television network, Sid Mullins. Cedric Mullins is someone that we're going to have on the podcast, Taylor, on Thursday. I know you're excited because it's a Baltimore Oriole.
Oh, yeah. Professional hitter Cedric Mullins, future all-star, potentially best friend of mine. Who knows, Buster? Anything can happen in these interviews. So I'm very excited to have him on the show.
Yeah. And from what I understand, it was an absolutely a key moment in his development as a hitter. And we're going to be talking with him about that again. That'll be on Thursday's podcast. Before the Yankees win in Minnesota yesterday, Gerrit Cole was asked by Ken Davidoff of the New York Post specifically whether Gerrit Cole used spider tack.
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately, we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
And Taylor, that clip that we just played, that didn't include the pregnant pause that in Gerrit Cole's answer, which got a lot of attention yesterday.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I really enjoyed watching him squirm as he did not answer a very straightforward question, not even a little bit. So have fun with that.
I think you're being a little unfair. And I'm going to talk about that with David Schoenfield.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code baseball. That's code baseball. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield, who covers baseball for ESPN. And just a second ago, my man Taylor, Dave, he basically said he enjoyed watching Gerrit Cole squirm when he was asked a question by Ken Davidoff yesterday about whether or not he uses spider tack. What was your reaction? Because I had a very distinct reaction. I'll give you in a second.
Well, it was a pretty good non-answer by Mr. Cole, expertly evading answering the question. Squirm would be a very apt description. He's not going to be the only one being asked this the next few days and the next few weeks, you know. And well, mention this, his spin rate in his last start, his lowest since 2018. So maybe this crackdown will actually work.
And let's face it, tonight, that's what a lot of folks are going to be watching. I will tell you this, is that when I saw the question, and I've known Ken Davidoff for a long time, New York Post, he's an excellent reporter. It's absolutely a fair question.
Yep.
But as we move forward, I really, really hope that we keep the proper context and try to, for what's gone on in baseball in the last 20 years, everybody in this sport has known that pitchers have been using foreign substances. So when Gerrit Cole last night, he's answering that question and he kind of looks like he's on a perp, you know, he's like in a perp, you know, police video or something like that. I just cringed, and it reminded me so much every winter when we talk about PEDs for the Hall of Fame voting, and there's so much focus on Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And it's because, of course, they were the best players of their generation. And what's forgotten in those conversations is that hundreds and thousands of players under baseball's umbrella were using PEDs. And in this case, dozens and hundreds of pitchers have been using foreign substances. But you know what? You know who gets the questions? Gerrit Cole, because he's the highest paid pitcher ever. Trevor Bauer, who just got the biggest salary ever and has been very outspoken about spin rate and the use of foreign substances. So we're going to see, you're right, we're going to see a lot of pitchers, elite pitchers being asked this question. I do hope that there is some nuance and context that's attached to those. What do you think?
Yeah, it's important. And, you know, look, no pitcher is going to want to come out there and say, yeah, I got the chemist working in the back room devising the secret ingredient. So you're not going to get the answers you want anyways. But Buster, you're so right on the context that this has been going on. I was doing some research yesterday, and you remember John Lester in the 2013 World Series. And I found an old video from Baseball Tonight, and it's Aaron Boone, current Yankee manager, and Chris Singleton talking about whatever was in Lester's glove, you know, clearly something there. And he was going to, whether it was just pine tar that had kind of frozen up, it was a cold night. And at that time, Aaron Boone, Chris Singleton, two ex-major leaguers, not ex-pitchers, but they were like, this is absolutely no big deal. This is part of the game. Pitchers use it. Chris Singleton said, heck, position players, especially infielders, they don't mind it because it gives them a little substance to grip the ball when they throw it. So this has been so long a part of the game. It's going to be hard to flip that switch overnight.
Yeah. And the reason why we're having this conversation now, I think you would agree with me, because, you know, from Major League Baseball's perspective, Central Baseball, they don't like the product with the lack of action, with all the strikeouts, with the absolute pitcher domination. But more to the point, you get position players now essentially revolting because pitchers went next level with the foreign substances. It went from being a little pine tar, right, John Lester pine tar in the glove, to spider tack, super glue,
right,
or whatever else that the Pelican grip stuff that they're using. They went next level and they learned how to use it to improve their spin rates.
Right. You know, and I know you guys have talked about this the last couple of days, but I think you nailed it. And the revolt of the position players, it reminds me of the steroid era when initially there wasn't a revolt. I mean, there was that famous union meeting, right, where Rick Helling you know, I think this was before 1998, stepped up and said, we got to do something. The players didn't do anything. So it's up to me, to the players in a way, to police their own sport. And they didn't do it originally in the steroids era, but Bud Seeley gets all the blame, which is fair. But the players have to determine what kind of sport they want. And I think the pitchers have gone too far. So now half the sport is stepping up and revolting.
Yep. That's what Josh Donaldson was doing. I got asked the question on television this morning. Do we expect Gerrit Cole to, you know, take a shot at Josh Donaldson when he steps in the box tonight because of what Josh tweeted out the other day? I don't think so. I think Garrett is a total pro. I couldn't remember specifically, but I think at one point I had a conversation with him about retaliation. I don't think that's his thing.
No, I don't think so either. I would not expect that at all.
All right, but they're going to be a lot of eyeballs on it, that's for sure. The Giants continue to roll, and you know, you asked the question in email to me, why can't the Giants hang all season with the Padres and Dodgers?
Yeah, I'd like to hear your opinion, because in our power ranking voting this week, I finally moved the Giants ahead of both of those teams for the first time. You know, I know they have a couple injuries right now. They're going to miss Evan Longoria, but the rotation is terrific. Fifth best rotation ERA, 3.11, just behind the Dodgers at 3.01. They're scoring runs, and Brandon Crawford, two more home runs last night. 14 home runs. He's slugging .575. I mean, this guy's playing his way into an MVP candidate. I know they're old. They don't quite have the depth, you know, that the Dodgers do, but I don't see why they can't hang in there all season.
Yeah, Father Time, as the phrase goes, is undefeated, but it's like this year, the Giants have sort of like punched back.
Yep.
You know, just when we thought Buster Posey might be done, Brandon Crawford might be done as an effective player, Evan Longoria was getting older. Those guys have all been really good. And I want to say this, because I was trying to decide yesterday about, you know, what to say about Dwayne Kuiper, the Giants broadcaster, who has announced on social media the other day that he's stepping away to deal. And he wasn't specific about the issue. He referenced chemotherapy. And he also talked about wanting some privacy. So I kind of trying to figure out what to say. I think you would agree with me that there are just going to be so many people around baseball who are going to have thoughts and prayers for Dwayne Kuiper. He's such a nice, great person. We've had him on the podcast repeatedly. You know, my thoughts have been with him the last couple of days for sure. Dave, I think you probably would echo that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, part of that, you know, great announcing team in San Francisco that some say is the best in baseball, you know, and don't overlook that this is something that team can rally around. You know, announcers are kind of part of the team a little bit in their own way. So it's an amazing story going on there. They're a team to watch. Let's hope the best for him. And maybe they can hit a few home runs for him, even though he only hit, what, one in his career.
Right, exactly. And let's hope that the Baseball Hall of Fame, which makes up its own rules, you know, it's their Hall of Fame. I have really hoped at some point that they would sort of set past precedent aside and honor two broadcasters together.
And that's a great idea.
It would be Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko, who have they have both had, you know, health issues now. And you would love in the summer of 2022 for them to be up on a stage and making a speech together. All right. So as we get close to the trade deadline, the Nationals, it's not happening. They're not playing very well. I think Max Scherzer could turn out to be the best starting pitcher who's moved. I wonder how you feel about lining up potential bidders in order of, you know, how you feel their chances are for landing Scherzer, if in fact he's put out there. I got to say, you know, looking at it in terms of the cost that it would require to get Max Scherzer, the amount of salary you're taking on, you know, the question of whether or not the Nationals would actually sell him. I've got them ranked this way. Number one, the New York Mets. Two, the Braves. And by the way, those are division rivals. But I know Mike Rizzo well enough to know that if he decides he's going to trade Scherzer, he's just going to want to get the best deal. He's not going to worry about trading in the division, especially knowing Scherzer is a free agent in the fall. Number three, Red Sox. Number four, Cardinals. And I would move up the Cardinals if, in fact, they become more competitive. They don't look very good right now, that's for sure. What would you do in terms of top four or five teams pursuing Max Scherzer?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals would probably be number one on my list, although, you know, I don't disagree that much with your order. I'm with you. Where are they right now? You know, Cubs look much better than we thought. I still like the Brewers. So, yeah, is that division winnable? But that's why they need a Max Scherzer. They have a pretty good farm system, kind of middle of the pack. So they have some players to deal there. The Yankees and the Cubs could use them. But I don't know if they have the farm systems to make that trade. Do the Yankees want to go over the luxury tax? I think Scherzer would push them over unless there's some money in there. I want to throw out, Buster, a team I just brought up, the Giants, who have a good farm system. They have two highly rated catchers in Joey Bart, who, by the way, is hitting 358 at AAA. Patrick Bailey, their first-round pick. They have a bunch of outfielders and pitchers in the lower levels. So they have prospects. This would be a kind of a right turn from where they were going at the start of the season. But if they want to win that division, Max Scherzer would help.
Two other teams we should put in the mix too, the Toronto Blue Jays, the San Diego Padres, who demonstrated during the offseason that they're trying to win this year, you know, in an era which some teams are tanking. Those teams have pushed their chips into the middle. Cabrian Hayes last night loses a home run because he stepped over first base, which is a first for me, Dave, in terms of, you know, not having some weird play where runners are returning and some other folks are involved in a play. I've never seen a guy hit a home run and step over first base.
No, I haven't seen that either. I asked our stats group if they could dig up the last time it happened, but stuff like that isn't necessarily categorized. So we couldn't, you know, confirm the last time it happened. I'm sure it has. There's been, you know, like you said, home runs that were missed for passing runners, you know, the Robin Ventura grand slam in the playoffs that turned into double, the most famous Taylor. I know you're not a baseball nerd like I am, but in 1959, Harvey Haddix had a perfect game and he lost it in the 13th inning on Joe Adcock's walk-off home run, except Joe Adcock passed Hank Aaron on the bases. Hank Aaron thought it was a double and peeled off. He only got a single instead of a home run, but I've never seen a guy lose a home run missing first base.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely remarkable. Last one for you, Vlad Jr. chasing a triple crown. He really come into his own this year. Shohei Ohtani, another home run last night. At this point, I'd say those two guys would be the front runners for American League MVP, yes?
Yeah, I think so. They're pretty much even in war. I want to get your thoughts because MVP voting, sometimes it goes beyond the stats to just how impressive was this season, and that's kind of a gut feeling. So what's more impressive if this continues, Vlad chasing the triple crown or what Ohtani is doing both ways? Like we said, they're pretty much even in value. Does one of those others get, you know, more extra credit for their achievement?
There have been multiple players who've won the triple crown. We've never seen anybody do what Shohei Ohtani's doing. And I, when I get asked the question in doing radio interviews about the American League MVP, I say, look, you know, being a writer and someone who, you know, voted for MVP, I think the last time I did it was 1995. Writers love their narratives.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that Ohtani's narrative, I think, will carry heavy through the MVP voting. What do you think?
Yeah, that's my feeling at this point. You know, the Angels not being in the playoff race is probably only a minor factor. I mean, Mike Trout won it a couple years ago when they were under 500. So that's a factor, but I don't think it's a big one. Buster, he's third in the league in OPS behind Vlad and J.D. Martinez. He has a 2.88 or something ERA as a pitcher. He's on pace to throw 112 innings. So he's, you know, it's not a full workload, but it's 100 innings. That's significant. I'm with you. That narrative, we haven't seen it in 102 years since Babe Ruth in 1919. So I think that extra credit edge does go to Ohtani.
And by the way, the Angels, as we said at the top of the show, they've actually been playing better. They won 10 of the last 15 games. They've crawled to within 3 games of .500. They're going to get Mike Trout back at some point. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. All right, sir. Always great to talk with you. Thanks for doing this.
All right. You bet, Buster.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Today is the 22nd anniversary of when Mets manager Bobby Valentine wore disguise in the dugout after being ejected. Bobby told the story himself here through E60. Give a listen.
Hi, I'm Bobby Valentine, and I'd like to tell you a story. Back in 1999, managing the New York Mets, and we went into extra innings against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Here's the 0-1. There goes Stewart. It's a pitch out. There's a throw to second base, and he is safe at second base. And wait a second. Catcher interference, apparently, as Graybeck is awarded first base by home plate umpire Randy Marsh.
So I went out to talk with Randy Marsh, and I asked him if I could get thrown out for what I was thinking, and he said no. And then I told him what I was thinking, and he threw me out.
And it looks like Bobby Valentine's had enough tonight. He acts like he's ready to go home.
Well, I went up into the clubhouse, and there were two of my favorites, Oral Hershiser and Robin Ventura, asked me what the heck I was doing. I was kneaded down in the dugout. I said, I can't go down there. Robin threw me a hat. Oral threw me some sunglasses, said, just put these things on, take off your uniform, and go down to the dugout. And I said, guys, it's a night game. I can't wear sunglasses down in the dugout. They said, do it. So I walked in the training room to look in the mirror to see what I looked like, pulled the hat down a little, and then looked down and saw the stickers that you put under your eyes on a day game. And I took one sticker and put it here, took another sticker and put it there. I looked at them and they said, no one will ever know.
That is not Groucho Marx. That would have been the manager of the New York Mets.
Oral was supposed to be shielding me, but I was in full view.
Bobby, incognito. Oh, man. Huh? Just when you think you've seen everything.
Luckily, we won the game almost immediately. When I came out on the field and slapped everyone five, the umpires were walking off the field. They laughed. But the next day, the president of the National League wasn't laughing. He fined me $5,000 and a two-game suspension. I always say, Oral, why didn't you block out that camera? You owe me $5,000.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Himbo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
Paul Imbicate, he's a researcher for ESPN, who's a honcho on the show Get Up and a wild partier. He's actually a lot of things on the show. And I should have listened to you last week, Himbo, when you were lauding Jesse Winker, when you're talking about Jesse Winker, because I sent out a Twitter poll yesterday about the National League MVP. And you know how Twitter polls go. You only have four options. And so I was like, well, one of them you got to put other. You got to have Jacob DeGrom. I think you got to have Ronald Acuna Jr. And I put Chris Bryant instead of Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos. Oh, my God, the Cincinnati Reds army, they're coming for me. I should have listened to you last week.
Well, here's the thing. I it's funny you say that because I got a text from my friend who has been urging me to talk about Jesse Winker on the podcast for a month. He sent me your Twitter poll and said, and this is all he said, Paul, I need you to intervene. So, yes, they were out in droves yesterday, although it's hard to fault you. Like, Jesse Winker is obviously in the conversation, but to not have him in your top three choices is by no means a crime.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better because you've been the biggest Jesse Winker guy so far this year. You know, the name that really was sort of tweaking Reds fans that was among the three that I included, because I think he would agree with me right now, Jacob DeGrom is running away with National League MVP. Acuna Jr.'s in it. Chris Bryant is the name that the Reds fans are upset about. Give us some Chris Bryant stuff.
Well, if you've ever been to a Little League baseball game, you've likely heard some coach say, put the ball in play and good things happen. Well, Buster, Chris Bryant is employing that very strategy en route to a career year at the plate. Here's what I mean. Bryant has reduced his launch angle to 13 degrees on average. That's on pace for the lowest mark of his career and one of the biggest year-over-year decreases in all of baseball. So what has been the impact? Well, Bryant has only 10 pop-ups in 57 games. And so that reduction has contributed to a batting average on balls in play, a BABIP of 361, which is considerably better than his career average. So while most players in the league are trying to launch the baseball, Chris Bryant's done the opposite, and it's working like wonders for him so far.
Well, I'll be stealing that number for Sunday Night Baseball this week. So if you can't forward me all your research, and I'll steal it without giving you credit.
Please do.
We talked last Sunday night about the Yankees lineup being so bad. What do you got on New York, even if they had a nice night last night in Minnesota?
Yeah, so last week, Buster, I highlighted the Yankees' deficiencies in the outfield and in turning base runners into runs. Today, I'm going to focus on something that you've been harping on, and that's balance, lineup balance. First, without the benefit of the home run ball, this lineup has shown to be mostly useless, again, aside from last night. If you exclude home runs this season, the Yankees are averaging 2 runs a game, as literally in 2.0, Buster. That ranks dead last in the American League. And secondly, they fail to build a lineup conducive to their ballpark. Yankees left-handed hitters are batting 182 with a 570 collective OPS. Not only are those both the lowest marks in baseball this year, but both would be the lowest marks by any team in a season over the last 40 years. They've been that kind of bad.
All right. As we have this conversation about foreign substances, you know, I've talked about over and over again how some of this was driven, the change to weaponize foreign substances was driven by, through the use of analytics, pitchers beginning to focus on being more efficient with their deliveries and being more focused on trying to maximize spin rate. Give us some more on that.
So I was trying to explain this foreign substance thing, Buster, to my wife yesterday, who asked, well, why does spinning the baseball help pitchers so much? And I thought to myself, there are probably actually a lot of fans who wonder that very question. So I dug into the data. I used just league average spin rates for fastballs and breaking balls, Buster, to arrive at these numbers. If you spin your fastball above the league average RPM, which is about 2160, your swing and miss rate is going to jump about 5 percentage points, and your opponent OPS is going to drop on average from 834 to 766. But it's way more considerable with breaking balls. Here's what I mean. If you can spin your curveball or your slider more than 2,500 RPM, which is about the league average, the batting average, Buster, drops from 269 to 189, and the OPS from 641 to 556. Now, that's a lot of numbers, but for context, Clayton Kershaw has allowed an OPS of his on his career of 582. So if you can spin your breaking ball, that's how good you can become.
This is why a general manager said to me in early April that there would be 15 to 20 no-hitters, and he talked about how pitchers were essentially throwing 98 mile an hour wiffle balls. Anybody who plays wiffle ball knows how much those things veer. That's kind of where we gotten on this thing. So just before you go, quick follow-up on that. Do you agree with me that if, in fact, we see the enforcement of this rule and pitchers alter behavior with the use of foreign substances, I think the impact could be significant.
So do I. I've given this a lot of thought over the last week, and you and others have made the comparison to performance-enhancing drugs 15, 20, 25 years ago in baseball. And obviously, the major difference is that this is not hurting people and impacting their bodies long-term or negatively influencing young baseball players, that we know. But the obvious similarity, Buster, is that it is very clear to me that there are bad actors impacting the run-scoring environment in baseball and essentially throwing off baseball's ecosystem. It is imbalanced. And from that standpoint, this is obviously having a massive impact because it seems very unlikely to me that in a very short period of time, offense can go from what it was to what it is now without external factors. So I agree with you. Are we going to see run scoring like we did in 2000? No, of course not. But if we could balance out the ecosystem a little bit more, I'm all for it. And if you know, sort of getting rid of foreign substances midseason is our best path to doing that, well, sign me up.
We'll see if Major League Baseball is like the ineffective parent that goes, we're not kidding this time. We're not kidding this time. We're going to take away your phone. We'll see if that's what baseball does or if they actually enforce the rules through the umpires. It'll be an interesting conversation for you and I. All right, Hembo, thank you.
Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo. Right.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher tweets for a Wednesday. First up, we have Andrew DeSalvo at DeSalvotion. He writes in, earlier this season, you did a detailed breakdown of what was slash is wrong with Lindor's swing. What is going on with Christian Yelich, MVP in 2018 and number two in the MVP voting in 2019, to mediocre to abysmal these last two seasons?
Yeah, Andrew, look, it's absolutely a fair question. I've asked generally over the last year about some of this. I got back, folks within the organization talk about injuries. You know, he had that knee injury a couple of years ago, a more passive approach in 2020 during the COVID shutdown. And then once they started playing, the feeling was that Yelich was a routine guy, you know, like JD Martinez. He had his routine and that was interrupted, and maybe that affected him. Let me make some more calls on this and get back to you on it another day, where I get more up-to-date information based on his most recent plate appearances.
Ooh, Buster on the case. Let's go to Brian Roll at Brian Baseball 5. Brian writes in, what do you see as Carlos Correa's market outside of Houston and Texas? It seems like some of the contenders that may need a shortstop, the Dodgers, the Athletics, the Yankees, won't be interested due to their history against him. It's been a while since we've done some Correa free agency speculation. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think number one, teams are going to want to see if he gets through the season healthy. You know, they want to see him stay on the field. They want to see him put up big numbers. And that's going to be the baseline for whatever happens. I have long since disabused myself of the idea that front offices hold grudges against players, right? I think if they feel like a player can help them, they're not going to care about what Correa did in 2017. I just don't think that that's necessarily going to be a factor. I think the Dodgers would love to keep Corey Seager. I don't think Oakland is a possibility because of the fact it's a small market team. And I don't think the Yankees are a possibility for Correa, in part because we've been talking about how right-handed that lineup is. I think as they move forward, they'll be looking for more balance.
Last one for today. This is a burner account that's coming for us, Buster. Enter name at enter NA 9804-9869. He writes, this person, robot perhaps, writes in, is this a foreign substance podcast? Are you going to talk about how good Marcus Semien is in May? I guess we could. Show yourself, you coward.
Well, I'd say this. There's no chance it's Marcus Semien, okay? And like Marcus Semien's like the greatest person in baseball. He has such great perspective. So let's set that aside. And actually, in my own house, a lot of talk about Marcus Semien because my son, Jake, plays the show all the time. And guess what? He was the player of the month. And so yesterday, Taylor, I got to listen to Jake's strategy for how he's going to add Marcus Semien to his team. He can't wait. I guess there are a bunch of weird challenges you got to do. He told me this morning when I woke him up, I actually used that to, you know, get him going. Hey, buddy, how's it going? How are you going to get Marcus Semien? That got his heart rate going and got him ready for Italian.
Like a good manager, you know how to press your players' buttons. Well done, Buster. Thanks for writing in, everyone. And enter name. Show your name next time. We want to know who you are. Thanks for writing in.
There we go. That's it for today. My thanks to Bobby Valentine. My thanks to Dave Schoenfield, to Paul Imbakides, and to Taylor Schwenk. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.